All right, it's Christmas time. Can you believe it? It is Christmas time, and we are so glad you're here. Welcome to the Justin James Show live at from Table Studios. I have a special guest, Brother Tim, a.k.a. Buddy the Elf. If you are on my Facebook page, on the Justin James Show Facebook page, you will know who I'm talking about. So we're going to introduce Tim here in a few minutes, but let's go ahead and let's get this party started.
Justin James.
All right. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so glad you are here. And welcome to the Justin James Show. This is the special Christmas edition you've been waiting for, I've been waiting for. Now, without further ado, let me introduce you to my good friend, Brother Tim. Brother Tim, how are you?
I'm good. My name is Buddy the Elf, and what's your favorite color?
Well, it has to be red and green.
Red and green. That's
red right. and
That's
green. Right. All right.
No, thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem, man. Now, last night, we had a Christmas skate party.
Yes, we our church does a Christmas skate party every year and has been going on for, I think, probably since the 70s, if I was to guess, though I don't know. When skating was all the rage. And we still do that, and it's a great tradition our church does. And last night I just thought I would dress up like Buddy the Elf and become Buddy the Skating Elf.
And you were definitely skating like Buddy last night. I can tell you that much. You were having so much fun, and the kids really enjoyed it. And next year I have to dress up as Santa. So
yes,
we'll figure that out. But I want to thank you so much. Now, you were supposed to be my guest on the Thanksgiving show.
Yes.
But because of schedule and everything, and it worked out perfectly because we had Ian, and Ian just did a fantastic job. Good friend of mine.
Yeah.
I had great reviews. And so you said, no, you know, I'm going to come on the Christmas show. Now, one thing I really am just blessed. First of all, thank you so much for your friendship, and thank you so much for all that you do for me and my family. And brother, you just refresh me, man. You
so glad I'm knowing you now. So glad we're friends.
And now, one of the fun things is that you are the embodiment of Christmas spirit. What is this thing, man? You wear the sweaters, you have the hats, you have the music. You are literally Buddy the Elf.
Well, I grew up in a family that was very much about celebrating Christmas. You know, I grew up in a family that was Christian and really tight-knit. And, you know, mom and dad both loved Jesus, and I knew that first and foremost. But we also love to celebrate Christmas. We love to do the Christmas lights and decorating. And we would go out as a family tradition and go Christmas light looking. And our church did big Christmas stuff growing up. I remember we were in a big church, and we learned the Hallelujah Chorus from Messiah as a congregation of like 1,200. And so Christmas Eve, we would sing it as a congregation. And even as a young kid, I remember being absolutely blown away by that. So yeah, Christmas has just been something that I've always enjoyed. I love decorating the house. We probably go way too crazy with cookies and decorating and even some presents, but the kids love it. So we have a great time.
Well, there's nothing wrong with lights. Now, in Dallas, there is a house in Dallas. I'm not going to give you the location, but there's a house, a special house in Dallas, that has about 100 Santas out in the front yard.
Really? No, I don't know that house. I've taken some time to scout out houses in the Metroplex that have been on that Greatest Light Fight show, if you've ever heard of that one. And we're going to go see some of those, hopefully, after the boys get out of school this week. But no, you have to tell me after the show's over.
I will have that, to. Yeah, it's there's a. It was on the news. It's in Dallas.
Okay.
And, I drove by it once actually a couple of weeks ago because I was actually in the area and I was like, hey, let me go and check out this house. And there was literally about 100 Santas out there, and he had like a little area because you love music. He had like a little look like a choir loft of just Santas out there singing.
Okay.
It was.
That's nothing but respect, because that's commitment to a theme for over the long haul. Because, you know, that took him some time. I would guess, to collect all those.
Well, he definitely has time and money, but yeah, it's just one of those weird, fun things. Like, why? Now, because you love Christmas so much, I have to ask you, are you the guy who actually keeps his Christmas lights up all year long?
No. Well, you know, the closest I've come to being that guy, which I wouldn't know if that's the Christmas guy or the lazy guy. Cause I'll say that the year that I kept my lights up till March, we were just lazy. Cause I'm not a guy who, you know, keeps them on all year long, but I definitely put them up early. The way, you know, you and I know each other at church, I'm the music pastor at our church. And so December's a busy month for us. Mm-hmm. So I'll put my Christmas lights up at the beginning of November. I won't fire them up until Thanksgiving, but I know I got to get them up early. So they'll stay up from November, until probably a little after the new year, but then I get them down.
Yeah. So what did you think about the Griswold guy in Austin? Did you see that story?
No, where, tell me about it.
Oh, well, it was they made this mannequin literally hang.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he looks like he's hanging, but it's a mannequin, but he's dressed up as, you know, Clark Griswold.
And then somebody thought it was a real guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. He pulled up and he's grabbing the ladder. You can see it through the camera there by the door.
Yeah.
And he's yelling, oh, you're going to be okay, buddy. You're going to be okay. He fights to get the ladder and he calls 911 and, yeah.
You know, that was two things. I got a good laugh and I thought, you know what? That's cool. That somebody saw that and, you know, wanted to help. Now that person probably felt like a fool afterwards, but they felt like, they were doing something good to help somebody else out. So props to the guy for trying to help somebody who was in need, and props to the family for committing to decorating in such a very specific way. That was good.
It was almost kind of offish, you know, from The Office, you know.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, my wife and I have matching shirts that are quotes from the Christmas Vacation movie. That's our newest Christmas, yeah.
Well, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the best Christmas movie ever. So get ready.
Okay.
So get ready. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Brother Tim.
Justin James. If you need that aerial photo, there is no one else to call but O'Madden Aerial Photography. They are able to take stunning photos or videos of your place of business, home, worship, or just about anything you can think of. They are highly professional, and they use state-of-the-art drone technology. Realtors love aerial photography because they are able to show the entire house to their clients. And churches love to be able to see their whole building that the Lord has provided. Whatever your reason, now is the time to call 972-834-4890. That is 972-834-4890. Or check them out at omaddenaerialphotography.com. Omadden Aerial Photography, the finest in the air.
Hey guys, this is Justin. With the football season already in full swing, I have to ask you, are you just watching your favorite team on TV? Or would you prefer the full experience, like you're right there on the field, by turning your living room into a fully surround sound media room? How? Well, it's simple. By calling Joe at Encore Home Theater at 469-877-3643. That's 469-877-3643. Joe has more than 25 years experience in the home theater business and will be able to answer any question you may have. And he'll get you the best price in town. No project is too small or too big for them. They'll come out just to help you mount a TV or create that perfect theater for you and your family. And with that big game just coming around the corner, now is the perfect time to call and set up that free consultation. That number is 469-877-3643, 469-877-3643. Encore Home Theater. Are you ready for game day?
You're listening to The Justin James Show.
And welcome back to the Christmas special of The Justin James Show. I am so glad you are here. And welcome. I hope that you have your hot cocoa because it's ready to get hot in here with marshmallows and cream and peppermint.
Nice. Is that what you, was that a song reference? That was a song reference at first.
I don't know.
I'm not sure where you're going, but I'm with you.
I don't know
I'm
where
I'm going.
I'm
tracking with you.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going half the time. So if you're a listener to this program, you probably, it was like, what is he doing? Okay. So we're talking about Christmas decorations. We talked about the Santas. So, all right. And we're going to be talking about favorite music. But before that, do you know who the real Santa is?
I think he was, well, not really a saint, right? He's not really truly been sainted, but he was Nicholas in Turkey, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Told you, Christmas fan, man. I can get you.
Well, do you know that he actually, the real Santa was at the Council of Nicaea?
I do think I remember hearing that, but I don't remember the whole story.
And here's the fun thing. There's a huge thing going on here because it was the Council of Nicaea. It was between Arius and Echomenius. I totally butchered that name up. And mainly was Arius was teach his congregation and everyone else that Jesus was not co-equal to God the Father. And he was a lesser God.
Okay.
It kind of sounds familiar with some of the theology out there.
Okay.
In fact, that's where some of these groups actually take their theology is from this guy. Well, the whole point about it was stirring up a huge pot within Christianity whole. At the time, Count Constantine was there. So he's like, hey, we're having problems here. So let's get together and let's kind of fix it, right? It wasn't there to create God or create Christ or what we know. That's already been done. We have documentation long before that. This was a clarification, and this was a saying, hey, we need to have peace because this is kind of getting a little bit radical. Well, speaking about radical, this guy named Nicholas, that's where we get it from Turkey, he actually slapped Arius across, or punched him in the face.
I think I want a Santa that could, you know, slap bad theology in the face. That's probably not a bad thing at all.
Yeah, that's the Santa that we, you know, and of course, because he is such a defender of Christian doctrine.
Yeah.
That is who the true Santa is. I mean, he was, that was it. So, you know, this guy going, ho, ho, ho. He was like, hey, let's throw down, man. You know,
he said, no, no, no.
That's right. Yeah. That's who the real Santa is. And I'm pulling this article up is actually on from Christianity Today. And with the information here, so if you want to go back and you want to look at it, of course, if you any question you have or anything, you can welcome to email me at justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com. All right, so that's it on the Santa part. All right, did I make it?
No, not quite.
Okay, well, anyway, I'll pick it up later. So, favorite Christmas movie?
So we're saying favorite, or are we trying to like have a definitive decision of what the greatest all-time Christmas movie is? Because I could just list off favorites.
I guess we have to find out what is the number one movie out there.
Well, what's your criteria? I mean, that's where we got to go, because okay. I think you could go with, because you know there's the argument's been going on for 30 years that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
It is.
I agree.
It is.
I'm in that camp.
Sure. It's been that camp because I mean every time I talk to people about it, they're like, hey, it's Die Hard, Die Hard, Die Hard.
Well, because
like,
it's got all it checks all the movie Christmas movie ticks of it has to be a Christmas movie. It's got Christmas music.
Okay.
It's got Christmas references.
Okay.
It's got wrapping paper.
Okay.
It's got Santa.
Uh huh.
You know, it doesn't have Jesus in a manger. So if we're gonna be real specific, it is missing one, but 4 out of 5. That's still an 80. That's a B. So it's a passing grade.
Most Christmas movies don't have Jesus in the manger.
That's true. So if you're going to go there.
Well, you know, another movie that everybody keeps missing is Lethal Weapon, the first one.
I forgot about that one. Yeah. Well, I think that's because maybe I don't want you might edit this out later. I don't know. But it might get a little dark. But, you know, it starts off as a Christmas movie and she jumps off a building and kills herself. That's the very way the movie starts. So that's not quite so... You know, doesn't kick it off.
Die Hard.
Die Hard starts off with Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
Okay.
So that gets your vibe right away. And I'm a music guy. So by the way, the music choices you've made today have been excellent.
Well, thank you.
Little Brian Setzer Christmas is always
good. I got a couple more coming up because this is a Christmas special and you can't have Christmas without music.
Let's go back. So if we're going to say the definitive best Christmas movie, and this is totally subjective to my opinion, I'm probably going to go with White Christmas because I'm a sucker for musicals.
All right.
It's got the color scheme and it's got Bing Crosby. I mean, like if you think of Christmas movies or Christmas, I mean, Bing Crosby's voice has been synonymous with Christmas since when was that? The 40s?
Yeah.
30s, 40s?
Well, so, but what is White Christmas? What does he really mean? I've been dreaming of a white Christmas? Is it
well, Texas? That's as far as you get.
Right.
It's just a dream. Yeah.
Well, I mean, is he saying in a theological manner, I'm dreaming of a Christmas that I'm clean as, you know, as white for my sins, or
I don't think that's what Irving Berlin meant when he wrote the song. In fact, I don't know. Do you know anything about the song White Christmas?
No, actually, okay. I don't.
Irving Berlin wrote it during World War II, and he mm-hmm. wrote it from the standpoint of a soldier who was stationed overseas. I'm pretty sure, boy, I hope I'm right, because if I'm not, you're going to get a lot of emails saying, who is that guy you have on there? He's full of fluff. But I believe Irving Berlin wrote it during World War II, and he wrote it from the standpoint of, it's kind of along the same lines as I'll Be Home for Christmas, mm-hmm. right? So one of right. the songs, it's longing for tradition, longing for family, longing for familiarity.
Right.
I think that, you know, White Christmas has those lyrics. And if you remember the movie White Christmas, it starts off in World War II, starts off in 1944.
Yeah.
Just as kind of the plot point to begin. But that's, you know, depending on the day you catch me, I might have a different answer. It's a Wonderful Life. I was watching It's a Wonderful Life this year and got to the very end where he says, no man is poor who has friends. And I just started tearing up. Maybe I'm getting soft in my older age as mm-hmm. as I'm flirting with 40. But you know, that's just whole concept of relationships and of mm-hmm. how God's blessed my family with relationships gets pretty, it struck an emotional chord that I thought, you know what, that's really good. That's a good piece of truth, even for Hollywood. I mean, you know, Hollywood doesn't always go with truth. Obviously, that's not their favorite thing to pitch.
Well, this Hollywood, but back then,
yeah, in the 40s, there was I don't know a whole lot about 40s Hollywood but Jimmy Stewart, obviously great actor, mm-hmm. And so I think that he portrayed that character in such a way that took you on that journey, and then at the end of it, just that idea of that, and you can take that and correlate it to how God's created us to be in relationship. To right. be in community, and seeing that community rally around the Bailey family just reminds me of how I've watched the church rally around my family mm-hmm. in so many hard times and so many difficult times over the years. So, you know, maybe there's always a lot more going on in my mind when we watch movies, but when I was watching that one, I thought, you know what? So I would say probably a tie between White Christmas and It's a Wonderful Life for my all-time best Christmas movies.
Well, I think definitely you cannot watch, you know, every Christmas season they play It's a Wonderful Life on, because it's like you were saying, it's to the point where it's tradition.
Yeah.
But in a society now that we're struggling with truth, I wonder what it really resonates with some of the younger generation if they actually sit down and watch it. Or are they just like, it's just something that old people do?
Well, I think when you say younger, like my kids, they're not watching it because it's black and white, so it's boring. But we'll watch it when they get a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my hope with any movie like that, and really with any piece of art, movies, music, books, whatever, is to start a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that looks like depending on the movie. That's why I like Common Sense Media. They're mm-hmm. I'm not promoting them for you because they're not a sponsor. But that's where our family goes to look at movies, because it always talks about, hey, here's the pros and the cons. Here's the conversation starters. Because I feel like if you're going to take your kids to see a movie, always have a purpose behind it. Always have a reason mm-hmm. behind it. Don't just go see a movie and then forget about it. Talk about, hey, what did you hear in that movie? What did you mm-hmm. see? What scared you? What did you like? And let that become conversations to kind of engage that generation with real truth.
Well, in seminary, or when I went to school, there was a class called cinema theology that I was a part of, and
that sounds like fun.
It was a lot of fun. But the problem is that every time I watch a movie, I want to dissect it. It's to the point now, it's like, you know, I just want to just sit and just be entertained.
Sure.
You know, in that, now there's some movies, yeah, that I look at, of course, the symbolism, or, you know, some of the things like when you get the Lord of the Rings and things like that, and some Star Wars,
which is a Christmas movie too, because it has elves and Gandalf looks like a low carb Santa.
That's a good one. I like that.
Thank you, internet.
You heard it right here on the Justin James Show. I guess you could see that. But then you got Narnia.
Yeah,
you had Santa in Narnia. You know, he gives the weapons to the children,
to the kids. I forgot about that.
And which is, of course, it's C.S. Lewis, and okay. who is like the ultimate Christian apologetics of ever.
Right.
He probably the greatest apologetic since Paul. I mean, sorry, Justin Martyr, but it's C.S. Lewis. He's just done so much more.
Oh yeah.
But don't get me wrong. He probably got a lot of his ideas from Justin Martyr, who was probably the first somewhat apologetics besides Paul.
Sure. Paul kind of started that whole.
You think?
I think so.
Yeah.
There's some written evidence of it anyway.
Well, I mean, I think all the disciples probably defended the resurrection. I mean, except for Judas, but.
Well, they had to, but you know, the resurrection. There were so many eyewitness accounts of Jesus resurrected that I think, you know, maybe you could dismiss one, but you start hearing three, four, five. I mean, at some point you had to kind of go, man, either there's a mass conspiracy going on or this really happened.
Yeah.
And that's been my thought, especially when I'm talking with somebody who talks about, you know, Jesus being a good man or Jesus not really existing. I'm like, no. I mean,
yeah,
let's start there. And there were lots of eyewitness accounts that prove he was killed and he was seen after that.
Right.
So I think that's a good way to start.
Now, one of the things we're talking about Jesus, let's go ahead and let's move on. What is the celebration of Christmas? Because I think we get so commercialized in materialism within Christmas now, and which I really do appreciate the old movies, because the old movies really bring us back to what it was kind of really about. What it's, you know, like you said, looking for hope, coming back to tradition, coming back to something that's genuine.
Yeah.
Nowadays, genuine is seeing a family fight over a big screen TV in Walmart.
Oh, gosh.
you know, I mean, that's not what I want to see Christmas as. What I love is the lights. The lights. It's something about the lights, and which blew me away. And when I was in Israel, we were driving to Nazareth, actually. It was at night, and we were just coming down from Jericho. We were coming up this highway. Don't know. Don't even ask me what highway it was, because I was like half asleep. But I was in the back seat of the van. So anyway, we're driving up, and my professor, who was I was with, he said, "Hey guys, look," and it was pitch black. And then you look up at the hill, because Nazareth is up on a hill. You look up, and it's glowing with the lights, and it's literally the city on the hill.
Mm.
And that's kind of all the cities in Israel are.
So the words of Jesus came alive at that.
Yeah,
point.
It popped. It's like, whoa, because you're in this darkness, and all of a sudden you see this light up there. You can just almost reach it and just grab it. And so when you see these lights, it just reminds me of that. It reminds me of something pure.
Well, and it reminds me of my oldest son and I. He's 7, and he accepted Christ this last year. So we've been talking a lot more about theology, and
well, I don't call it theology, God.
But just talking about, you know, why we believe what we believe in the Bible, and trying to get understanding of the words of Jesus. And so we were talking about Christmas lights of the day, and we talked about the opening of the Book of John.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness doesn't understand it. Darkness doesn't comprehend it. And we, you know, that's, I think my love for Christmas lights obviously has a sentimental value to it, because it reminds me of growing up, reminds me of family. But I think also, as I've gotten older and I've gotten more, you know, I followed God longer, followed the Bible and, you know, walked with Jesus longer. I think the idea of the light shining in the darkness, you know, now my electric bill would tell me that I need to stop shining the light in the darkness as much as I do, because I might have one or too many lights. Which, back to movies, Christmas Vacation, that's my lighting plan when I light my house, is to try to look like the house from Christmas Vacation.
So you can actually see it from space.
So you can see it from space. So the auxiliary, you know, power is coming on from the nuclear plant. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. But we love it. So, but I think the whole idea of the light shining in the darkness, we see those lights, and, you know, yeah, we're all sinful people, but we were still created by God. And so we see those lights. There's an intrinsic thing in us that goes, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that beautiful? Well, there's a why behind it. There's always a why behind it. And the why is because we see that as a representation of Christ in the world. And it's for, if you're a follower of Christ, of you living out your life in the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's where this really is, because we are supposed to be the lights on the house.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be the light. And we demonstrate that through different things, through, I guess, through charity, through the way we interact with people, the way we deal with people. Last night, after the event, we went to Subway, and there was a Muslim couple that came in, and they felt, you could tell when they walked in, you can kind of see it in their eyes that they felt a little intimidated. Something was off. And because, I mean, they're probably used to somebody criticizing them or poking at them. But after we left, they were leaving with us, and I opened the door, and you know, and I said, thank you. And I said, well, you're welcome. Merry Christmas. It's a beautiful season. You know, God bless you. You know, shalom. You know, not shalom, shalom. You know,
I don't know the difference.
Arabic, and then you have Hebrew. Shalom is in Hebrew. You never want to say that to an Arab or to a Muslim, because that you can imagine the.
There would be yes. So it's good to know for me though, because we have.
But and so when you're interacting, you speak their language, and that's why I love the really cool thing about Christianity is we don't have necessarily a culture within our religion, within our faith. It's not a cultural faith. It's a belief that transforms us, but we don't have things to wear. I mean, unless you're Tim who wears the sweaters, but the Christmas sweaters. But there's a culture. There's not a culture necessarily tied in with our relationship with Jesus. They have a culture because they have to dress. They have a language. They have all these different things. We'll talk about that later on another podcast. But for them to interact with their culture. To make them feel comfortable, to help them interact with them and looking them in the eye and saying, hey, peace, brother.
Yeah.
Peace, sister. You know, they immediately, you could just tell that the walls fell down.
Yeah.
From that. And I think that's part
of being a light.
That's being a light. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and of course, we've got to be salt, but, you know, because we want to be able to preserve things. Sure. And that's the idea, I think, with Christmas and these traditions. We want to preserve. We definitely want to preserve. Okay. How do you unwrap a Christmas present? Are you the guy who just rips it, or you actually take your time?
Oh, I'm a ripper. I rip into them. I don't, you know, life is too short to save wrapping paper. Let's just get going. Let's see what's inside the box and move on.
What is the most best Christmas gift you ever got in your life?
Oh, well, my oldest son was born December 27th. So I'm going to, and my wife went into, well, the year he was born, Christmas night was a snowfall in Charlotte. We were living in Charlotte at the time. And Christmas night was snowing pretty heavy. My mother-in-law flew in. So 26th, my wife started going into labor. So I would say that's pretty close to Christmas. So I'm gonna have to go with, because, you know, I don't get too deep down the rabbit hole of the story, but we've been wanting to have a kid for a long time. We weren't sure we were going to be able to. And so obviously we knew going up to that, it wasn't just, holy cow. But the fact that the Lord allowed us to have this child, our first son, right around Christmas, he knew how much I love Christmas. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knew that when I was a kid. And he had a plan for my life to go, I'm going to give you one of the most amazing, challenging gifts. Because, you know, anybody who has children in your audience knows that they can simultaneously be the most amazing blessing and the greatest challenge at the same time. So I would probably say that's the best gift I received around Christmas.
That's a pretty good gift.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good gift. And I have friends that actually were born on December 25th and I can imagine what the family was, just the excitement, the joy of that. Well, let's talk about that, because what is Christmas joy? What's your definition of Christmas joy? Because again, we look at joy now and Christmas as material, but what is the real Christmas joy?
Well, I think joy is something we wish people. And so if you wish somebody joy, you know, you want them to have, I think another, there's a lot of synonyms, I think, to go with joy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the quickest and easiest one is happiness, but I think happiness is fleeting. True joy comes from the hope and the promise of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so something that our family celebrates is Advent. Mm-hmm. And we do something called the Jesse Tree, 25 days. We go through the Bible and go through different passages that all point towards Jesus. And so true joy comes from the hope of Christ. And, you know, obviously talking about the birth of Christ, there was the hope leading up to Christ's birth, the Messiah's birth. And the 400 years of silence prior between the Old Testament and the birth of Christ, there was a lot of need for hope. There was a lot of silence in that time. There was a lot of darkness as far as what happened, where did God go, And so in our society today, we kind of have that same feeling sometimes. Mm-hmm. You turn on the news, you turn on Twitter, any social media, and it's just so much darkness, so much negativity, that you're like, oh, where is the hope? And the hope is in that we know Christ is returning.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's coming again, and that there is hope in that. You know, definitely don't believe that our joy can always be tied to our circumstances. Hey, sometimes it is. Sometimes things are going great and mm-hmm. you have a great day. You can have a great year. And so you're joyful because things are going well. But to go back to one of my favorite hymns, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, mm-hmm. the joy was in the adoration. The joy is in beholding Jesus. Mm. And when you embrace all that Jesus came to do, to love, to heal, to radically transform how we viewed our walk with God, our relationship with God, that's where joy is found. Mm. And that's a lot to say. You know, it's easier to sing Joy to the World, The Lord Has Come. That takes, mm-hmm. 2.5 minutes. But I think the deeper picture there is that our joy is tied to seeing the promise of Christ fulfilled.
Mm. And I think that you just hit it. I could have said it better myself. That's to really experience joy and peace is to embrace what the real meaning of Christmas is about. And that's about Jesus.
Yeah.
The promise of the Messiah, the one that would crush the serpent, the one that will literally establish his kingdom. And it's a kingdom that we cannot see. It's a kingdom that it's not an earthly kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. And we're a part of that because we're in Christ. And that's the joy and peace that when you see all the holly and everything within that. Now, last question before we go, because I have a special, what I want to do for you, the listeners, is I'm going to just play Silent Night as we end this show, because it's one of my favorite Christmas songs ever, because it reminds me of that night there in Bethlehem. And it reminds me of the holiness and the pureness of Christ coming. The Word made flesh.
Yeah.
Emmanuel, the prophecies, the promise was all fulfilled on that one night, and it was a beautiful time. So as we're going to go into that, so I'm going to end the show with that, and I'm going to play the Josh Gorman one.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard that, but the Josh Gorman Silent Night, which I went for some of them, and I heard this one. I was like, I got to play this one because this is just amazing. And this is by Josh Gorman, The Silent Night, and there, I'm done with my copyrights.
And if your listeners don't know the story of Silent Night, they should go look it up. It's a great story. We won't go to it right now, but it's how the song was written is such a cool, beautiful story.
So within that. Now, one last question as we get going, because we got to get going. So what do you consider the number one Christmas tradition in your family?
Christmas Eve. And really, it's the Christmas Eve service that we've always been able to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Going back to light. The candlelight service. Mm-hmm. Since I've been leading in ministry and leading worship, I do an exercise with our candles when we're in church. I'm giving you a spoiler if you're at our Christmas mm-hmm. Eve service this year, that at some point during the candlelighting, we'll all hold our candles up and see how the light fills the room.
Mm.
And then we'll all drop our candles below our light, like below our waist. We'll mm-hmm. drop them low as far as we can and watch how the light it evades the room, like how darkness come back, mm-hmm. invades the room again. And so we talk about the fact that light's job is to shine.
Mm.
And, the darkness's job is to go wherever light isn't,
mm-hmm.
right? Nobody has to walk around with a candle of darkness. It is. It is mm-hmm. wherever you go. You have to be intentional about your light. And so to me, that tradition of lighting candles at Christmas Eve, it's a soft, quiet reminder of the purpose of Christmas,
mm.
right? It started with the light of God's promise, centuries before it was realized in the baby, in the baby Jesus' birth. It was fulfilled in his death and resurrection.
Mm.
And now we have the hope. When we celebrate Christmas with all the lights, with all the presents, and we haven't even talked about the food, and I'm thankful because there's just too much food. But when we do all those things, if you can keep in the back of your mind that we are doing it to celebrate Jesus and find Jesus in all those things, find Jesus in every experience that you have at Christmas, because otherwise you get burned out and you get tired because there's a lot to do. But if you can continue to find Jesus in those things, then it continues to keep you focused where you need to be.
That's right. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us on this Christmas special. And again, this podcast is supported by friends and family. So if you want to support this podcast, they're on Anchor FM through the way I actually broadcast this podcast. You can donate. You can actually support this show through a monthly contribution. And I will love to help that because it helps us get equipment. That helps us get things. That helps us get really cool guests like Tim and everything. You can donate $5 a month to $10 a month. If you really love me, you can even do 99 cents a month. But I want to thank you so much. And I want to just wish you a Merry Christmas. And I want to, from all of us here at Justin James Show, from my family to yours, and we want to thank you. Now, I'm going to just let it go off here in silent night. And thank you again. And we will talk with you in a couple of weeks because we got a New Year's coming up. And, of course, we're going to do something for New Year's. We got to talk about those resolutions. So God bless you and Merry Christmas.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Sleep.